Right, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, tonight's talk is by our Chief Reverend from Kuala Lumpur, and he is going to talk about the Buddhist way of life. I know many of us call ourselves Buddhists, but we are still quite confused sometimes which is the actual way or the correct way which we can call it the Buddhist way of life. So without further ado, we now invite Chief Reverend to start his talk. Chief Reverend, please.
Dear devotees, thank you very much for having invited me once again after a long time to come and deliver a religious talk in conjunction with the forthcoming Vesak celebration. This year, there is a controversy regarding the date. I think every 4 years we had to face this problem. Those who follow lunar calendar and solar calendar, leap year. But during the World Fellowship of Buddhists conference, every delegate from every country unanimously agreed to perform the Vesak celebration on the first full moon day of month of May without any controversy. But it seems that some people do not follow this. Now take for instance, here we are going to celebrate the 3rd of May. But in Singapore, we heard on June. And there may be some other countries also that fix different date. That is the problems with our Buddhist community. They hold conferences all over the world and discuss so many things. But there is no unity and harmony and cooperation and understanding. But others, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, they listen to their religious authorities and they have harmony and understanding. But it is very difficult for Buddhists to get together and organize their religious activities in proper manner without any controversy. However, that is not the most important thing. Now you have invited me to come and deliver. Every year you invite me to come and deliver this talk during this period before the Vesak celebration. And just now you heard the topic is Buddhist way of life. We have different views, ideas to define or to explain the Buddhist way of life. But when we refer to the Buddha, we can start from the very beginning how he has introduced his mission for us to follow as Buddhist way of life. I can categorize into 5 items. Family life, economy, social life, intellectual aspect, and a spiritual development. When you consider these 5 items, we can understand from the beginning, step by step, we are going further and further and further, developing our religious way of life. But people have mixed up all those things. They do not start from the beginning. They take only few items. But if one of these items is missing, that Buddhist way of life is not perfect, not completed. Let us start from the beginning, family life. The Buddha has renounced everything. But when he is going to advise to people how to follow, how to practice, how to lead a Buddhist way of life, then he said, start from home. There are many duties, responsibilities, obligations, commitments for you to fulfill. By neglecting them, it is not so easy for you to get into the Buddhist way of life. Let us start with husband and wife. In various discourses, the Buddha has mentioned, what are the duties toward the husband? What are the duties toward the wife? If they do not fulfill these duties and responsibilities, that is not a happy, peaceful married life. Then, how to continue religious way of life? If husband and wife, or father and mother, are not in good terms, there is no mutual understanding, there is no real love and affection and understanding, that married life is miserable. There is no real happiness. By considering this, the Buddha has given, these are the duties you have to fulfill. I have no time to explain item by item. You might have heard on many occasions what are the duties that you have to fulfill. First thing, the wife must understand the mentality of the husband. Husband must understand the mentality of his wife. Because there are no two human beings in this world who think equally. Today there are 6 billion human beings in this world. You cannot find two human beings who think equally. They have their own individual way of thinking and character and behavior, attitude and mentality. That is why always clashes, conflicts, misunderstanding take place. Take for instance, husband is very hot-tempered. By nature, it is not that purposely he created. Because we have 6 kinds of characters, all of us have. Some of them are active and others are in a passive stage, not active, but they are in our mind. Mentioned, Raga charita, doha charita, moha charita, buddha charita, saddha charita, vitakka charita. Charita means character. All of us have these 6 kinds of characters, but some are active and others are remains in the mind, but occasionally circumstances, environment, irritation, temptation, provoke and flare up. Otherwise, they are just sleeping in the mind. Assume husband is very hot-tempered. Wife cannot change his mind. She should not waste her time accusing, blaming, criticizing, shouting, fighting, asking him to change his mind. He cannot do that. That is intrinsic, inborn quality. So if husband is hot-tempered, it is her duty not to irritate, not to provoke, not to disturb him. Then she can live with him very easily. On the other hand, the wife is very jealous, suspicious mind. Husband cannot change by scolding, beating, accusing. Therefore, it is the duty of the husband to behave in such a way without allowing her to create suspicion and jealousy. Then both can live very peacefully, although they have a different mentality. Again, naturally certain argument and misunderstanding take place. Then they must know, act very diplomatic way. Do you know the meaning of diplomacy? Have you heard the meaning of this word, diplomacy? Diplomacy means intellectual hypocrisy. They act in such a way by showing something to avoid disturbances and violence and misunderstanding. But idea is still the same in the mind. That is called diplomacy. So there was a wife. She is very hot-tempered. For a minor mistake, she scolded him, "You're a stupid idiot." Every time when he make a minor mistake, she scolded him, "You're a stupid idiot." But husband was a very understanding man. He always keep quiet when she scolded. One day, when she scolded him, "You are a stupid idiot," he said, "I think you are right." Why? If I am not a stupid idiot, do you think I ever marry a woman like you? Finish. From that day onward, she never uttered that word. See how he settled the problem? Without shouting and crying. That is called diplomacy. So we have to learn these things to overcome, to avoid certain misunderstanding, conflict, clashes, to maintain peace and carry on their married life. Again, duties toward the parents appreciated in every religion. By neglecting their duties towards their father and mother, they cannot go ahead with their religious way of life. Whether the father and mothers are good or not, it is the duty of the children to fulfill their duties. Islam, when Prophet Muhammad was asked, "You always talk about heaven. Can you tell me actually where this heaven is?" Muhammad said, "Heaven is at the feet of your mother." That means one who attend to his or her mother definitely will be in heaven. Why did he take only mother? Even Buddha's way of talking, He never say father and mother. Always say mother and father. Mother come first. Because mother is the one who suffer at the risk of her life, sacrificing the whole life for the sake of her children. Therefore, the mother come first. No doubt, father had to work very hard to support them. Now, Hinduism, in Sanskrit language, they say, Matrudevo Bhava, Pitrudevo Bhava. Regard your mother and father as devas. That means you must know how to respect your father and mother. Then, what the Buddha has said, Brahmati Mata Pitaru. Brahma is the God. The Buddha says you must regard, respect your mother and father as Brahma, as Deva. Even Christianity, in the Bible, it is mentioned, honor thy father, honor thy mother. Now you can understand, every religion appreciate, point out the duties towards their parent. That is Buddhist way of life to us. Then, toward the children, father and mother have a lot of duties, responsibilities towards their children. If they neglect these duties, there will be a lot of problems and troubles and disturbances and calamities and violence. Therefore, father and mother must know how to handle them, how to look after them, how to educate them, how to train them, keep an eye on them, what they are doing, where they go. If parents neglect all these duties, children go their own way because they associate with others, outsiders. And then become a lot of problems and disturbances. Therefore, they have a lot of duties, even animals. You can see, animals are willing to sacrifice their life to protect their young one. But they look after them, support them, when they grow up, when they can stand with their own food, leave them alone. Do not depend anything from their children, animals. But only human beings depend on their children. The Buddha mentioned this. As human beings, we should not neglect our parents. And the duties of the parents to look after them, guide them, educate them. They neglect, they are not doing their duties, responsibilities. Then he said, Putta Dharasya Sangaho in Mangala Sutra. You must know how to attend to your husband, your wife and your children. Jnātakānañca saṅgaho, also in Mangala Sutra. You have relatives. You should not neglect your relatives. Your blood relationship is very strong. You have to develop your communication, relationship, understanding with your relatives. By visiting them, inviting them, attending when they need your services. And then you gain some sort of confidence. If anything happened to us, we have our relatives. That gives a lot of courage and confidence for them to maintain their way of life. Here, this is the beginning of the Buddhist way of life, because the Buddha has pointed out all these things. So you cannot go ahead by neglecting these duties. Then the next item, economy. Uttana sampada, arakka sampada, kalyana mittata, samajivikata. Advice given by the Buddha. You should not be lazy. Uttana sampada, get up. Don't sleep too much, don't sit down too much. Go and do something. With the man or woman, there is something that they can do. Encourage people to do something. People say, oh, we are religious, it's not necessary to work so hard. That is not the way from the beginning. You had to work. You had to earn. Advice given by the Buddha. Arakka sampada. The Buddha says, you must know how to protect what you have earned without neglecting, without spending for unnecessary things. You must know how to look after, how to protect what you have earned. Otherwise, robbery or fire or flood or people come and cheat, and there are a lot of disturbances. Therefore, you must know how to look after what you have earned. Again, he says, as householders mean those who lead worldly life, those who have not renounced the worldly life, they are called householders. The Buddha says, they must have four kinds of happiness. Four kinds of happiness they must have. Atthisukha, bhogasukha, ananasukha, anavajjasukha. Sukha means happiness. Atthisukha. Each and every person must have something to claim. This is mine. My house, my land, my business, and my bank account, my jewelries. That is important for you to lead a worldly life. See the way Buddha has given this advice. That happiness must be there in your mind. Otherwise you feel very dull. Second one, bhoga sukha. By spending what you have earned, you must know how to enjoy your life. See, bhoga. You can have nice food, good clothing, beautiful house, and all the necessary things to enjoy your life harmless way, without cheating, bluffing, disturbing, stealing, very respectable way. You can enjoy your life. It is not against Buddhism. Bhoga sukha. Anana sukha. Income and expenditure. You have to spend by knowing how much you earn per month. If you spend more, you get into trouble. Then you have to borrow from others. When you borrow from others, you lose your self-respect under obligation. Therefore, you must decide not to borrow from others. Maintain within your capacity adjust your income and expenditure by considering very carefully. You know, in Sigalovada Sutra, Buddha has pointed out further detail there. He said, whatever you earn per month, you have to divide into four. Assume you earned 2,000 ringgit per month. You have to divide into four, then 500. Ekena bhoge bhunjaya. You can spend only 500 for your food. Don't spend more than 500 for your food. Dvihi kammang payojaya. Two portions, that means thousands. For your duties, responsibilities, and the payments, and donations, and contributions, and tax, and for everything, you can spend only 1,000, not more than that. Now, chatuttancha nidapeya remains 500. You should not touch this 500. Nidapeya. Invest, deposit. This is the Buddhist economy, how Buddha has introduced. Don't think it is out of date, although he introduced 2,500 years ago. Then you gain some sort of confidence. When you grow old, when you are sick, when you are in trouble, you gain confidence. I have my saving. And many people nowadays, when they are old or very sick, they go to nursing home. And they attend to him very carefully. They can lead a very peaceful life there. But there might be some income to pay. When they are sick or some other problem, they have something without depending on others, without borrowing from others. They have their own saving. People never think the Buddha has given this kind of advice for us. He did not simply throw away everything, go to jungle and meditate. This is the beginning. Buddhist economy means you must work hard without wasting your time, and you know how to spend, you must know how to save, how to deposit, then you can avoid so many disturbances and worries and fear and loneliness without depending on others. That is Buddhist economy. Third item, social aspect. As human beings, we have humane qualities, not like animals or any other living being. That is why we are called manushya. Do you know the real meaning of this word, manushya? Why we are called manushya? In many languages, they use this word for human beings. What does it mean? Mana means mind. Manussa means manassa ussannataya. One who can raise, develop, cultivate the mind up to maximum level. That living being is called manushya. The Buddha has categorized all those living beings in this universe into 31 group. The whole universe, 31 groups. Among those 31, humans, one group. But the minds that human beings have as intelligence or sense of reasoning or common sense, we cannot find in other living beings. This intelligence that we have, we cannot find in other living beings. Even devas and brahmas, we regard them as divine beings, supernatural, supernormal, and we worship, we pray. But we do not know. Our intelligence is far superior to all the other living beings in this universe. The reason is, they do not know how to develop their mind. That is why only a human being can become a Buddha. God cannot become a Buddha. Devas, Brahmas, divine beings cannot become a Buddha. Must be a human being. Why? That intelligence. Go on developing, 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 life after life, life after life, until he gained enlightenment. Others do not know how to do that. Others can use their mind to find out their food, their shelter, and their protection, and worldly, sensual pleasure. So they cannot extend their mind to think further. Limited. Only human beings can do that. We can develop this up to the maximum level. Look at scientists, how far they have developed their intelligence to discover so many things in this world. People have never knew for millions of years what they have discovered today. They will discover many more things in time to come by using that intelligence. But the trouble is, intelligence without religion is dangerous. That is the important point. Albert Einstein, one of the best scientists and very highly intellectual person, he says, science without religion is blind. It is true. By developing their scientific knowledge, they have discovered so many things to produce nuclear weapons to destroy the whole world. That is intelligence. Misuse. Because no religion to guide their intelligence. Not to misuse that intelligence. Do you know how far they have developed this intelligence? They say, all the nuclear weapons they have produced so far and collect all together and blast at once, the whole world turn into ashes within half an hour. Human intelligence. Not only that, they say even the moon also will be affected. The same human intelligence, the Buddha developed. He said, how he became the Buddha? I think you have heard this. A Brahmana or Brahmin met the Buddha. he has never seen such a human being in his life. He could not believe that this is a human being. He approached the Buddha and asked, "May I know whether you are a god?" The Buddha says, "No, I am not a god." But other religious teachers try to claim they are son of God, messenger of God, but the Buddha said, "No, I am not a god." Then, any other form of a supernatural living being? The Buddha says, "No, I am very natural." In that case, are you an ordinary human being? The Buddha said, "No, I am not an ordinary human being." Now he cannot understand. And he asked, "Then who are you?" The Buddha gave the answer. This answer, self-introduction given by the Buddha, is very important for you to understand who the Buddha is. If anybody come and ask this question, either Christians or Muslims or anybody else come and ask, "Can you tell me actually who this Buddha that you worship and do some of it and follow?" I don't think you can give a correct answer. Here, the self-introduction given by the Buddha for people to know who he is. He said, in his own language, "Abhinyayam abhinyatam." I understood everything that which exists in this world. How did you do that? That is what he did as practicing paramitas, perfection, life after life, developing and developing and developing and developing to understand. Understood everything. Nobody in this world who can say the Buddha cannot understand this. Abhinyayam abhinyatam. Bhavetabhancha bhavitam. I have practiced all the great qualities, virtues, morals and principles and everything which is good. Practice. He had done this. Do you know how long he had been doing this, developing and developing life after life? Because when once we develop our mind, the continuity is there in the to continue from the next life onward. All of us have our good habit, bad habit, intelligence or ignorance that we have, again started from the next life onward. This is the nature of our consciousness. So he said, "I have practiced all the great qualities, virtues in this world. Pahatabbang pahinang me. I have eradicated, uprooted all the wicked and morals and immoral and harmful and dangerous thoughts, words, action. Completely eradicated. Perfection. Now, his mind, in the first sermon, Dhammacakka Sutra, he said, Aloko Udapadi, brightness arose in my mind. Formerly I never had this brightness. Now we have no brightness in our mind. Our minds are in the dark. There are so many dark clouds around our mind. That is why we cannot understand things, cannot see things properly. Unless and until we remove all these things, Then we get brightness in the mind. We can see, we can hear, we can understand. How many evil forces are there in our mind? Selfishness, greed, anger, enmity, jealousy, wickedness, cruelty, all these are evil forces, dark cloud. The mind is clouded, deluded, misled by these evil forces. That is why the whole world is a battlefield today. Whole world is a madhouse. Human beings do not behave as humans. Animals in the jungle live more peacefully than humans in this world today. Because in their mind, all the evil forces, greed, jealousy, anger, hatred. Then violence, war, bloodshed, destruction. People never think this. Here. Now there is brightness in my mind. Then knowledge, understanding, wisdom also develop life after life. So the wisdom and brightness combine together. That is called enlightenment. We introduce the Buddha as enlightened one. There is no another person that we can introduce as enlightened person. Other religious teachers, yes, we can respect them. We can appreciate their services. But we know very well they are not enlightened. We can see some human weaknesses in them when you study their way of life. But when you study the way of life of the Buddha, there is nobody in this world who can point out any weakness in him because of this enlightenment. So, social life that we had to maintain, knowing that we are living in this world with others, different races, different religious group, different colors, different attitude, different mentality, different culture, different tradition. If you can understand all these things, then we can live without irritating, disturbing, provoking others. That is the technique. But many people do not know how to do that. They think that their race, their religion is higher than the others. Then trouble starts from there. Especially in a country like Malaysia. We have Muslims and Christians and Hindus and Buddhists and some others. Then we must know how to adjust our way of life, live in such a way, not to irritate others, not to condemn others, not to disturb others. You must know how to talk, you must know how to work with others, how to associate with others. That is the most important thing for us to live here. The Buddha pointed out, as humans, how you should live in this world by maintaining your human dignity, developing your humane qualities, cultivating your human values. Human values, humane qualities, human dignity, you cannot find in any other living being. But we are abusing them because of our ignorant misunderstanding and evil thoughts, misusing. We can misuse our intelligence to destroy all the others. That is intelligence. Now let us take simple thing. Suicide bomb. Discovered by whom? by a foolish man. It's a very intelligent man discovered this suicide bomb. This is the way how they can misuse their intelligence. So the Buddha's method is you had to use your intelligence by knowing these things are bad, these things are immoral, these things are wicked, these things are harmful, these things are shameful. By considering all these things, you had to adjust your way of life, your social life in the society, very peaceful. But people cannot do this. They have pride and they try to maintain their, what you call, egoism, egoistic belief, my, by disregarding others. So the Buddha, you had to think of others. You had to adjust yourself. If you want to live peacefully in this world. See, step by step now we are going further and further. Then come to the next item. Intellectual aspect. Still we have not used our intelligence properly to cultivate it. We had to think unbiasedly. Very difficult for people to think unbiasedly. Always they are biased. So intelligence we had to guide, develop by knowing what this life is, what this world is, why the world is like this, why our life is like this, we do not know. We create our own imagination. Whenever we have some troubles and sicknesses and disturbances, we say, a spirit and ghost and devils and charms and black magic. All these are imaginations created by primitive people long ago. Still people maintain this thing. Still they believe. There is no intelligence. We had to ignore such belief. Then the mind get the chance to think freely without depending on all this rubbish. Method taught by the Buddha. There are three things we have to do that. Sila, Samadhi, Panya. First, we must have discipline. What is discipline? Education means discipline. It is a Latin word. The original word is educo. Educo means development. Development of the mind. When they introduced this as education, they confined to academic knowledge, worldly knowledge, book knowledge, job-orientated knowledge. No discipline, no development in their mind. They become more cunning, more wicked, more selfish, more jealous. But knowledge is very high. There is no development. Education means development of that mind. We can learn everything in this world under the sun and the moon. Our knowledge is so rich. But still there is no development in the mind. Wicked idea, selfish idea appears in our mind. Even in Sanskrit language, they use the word vidya for education. Vidya dadati vinayam. Vidya means education. Education gives vinayam, discipline. That means we discipline our mind by learning. When the mind is disciplined, we can handle our life very peacefully, very easily, without facing any conflict, clashes, disturbances. That is called education. But the trouble is, educated people, learned people create more troubles, more disturbances, more dangerous things in this world. That is not education. So the Buddha introduced this as sila. Sila means discipline. Follow certain discipline, knowing these things are wrong, these things are harmful, these things are immoral, these things are shameful. By knowing, not because of God, not because of hell, not because of punishment of God, by knowing these things are wrong. The method taught by the Buddha is this. He said, don't accept anything what I have taught, thinking the Buddha is a great man. You never learn anything. Don't depend on a person. That is personality cult. People say, oh, Jesus says we should not do this. Buddha says we should not do this. Muhammad says we should not do this. Therefore, we cannot do. That is not the method taught by the Buddha. Recently, I was invited to give a talk in a Catholic church. Occasionally I go there. Now, next month there will be a talk in the International Islamic University. Today I got the invitation. The concept of God. We have to go and talk to Muslims. I have been there twice earlier. This is the third time. So, after my talk, somebody says, you say Buddha says like this. We say Jesus says like this. Who is correct? I told him, you can forget your Jesus. I can forget the Buddha. Use our common sense. Without depending on anybody, use our common sense. We have that. Then we can understand what is right and what is wrong. Take for instance, the Buddha says we should not steal. Jesus says thou shalt not steal. Do you think without depending on Jesus, without depending on Buddha, we cannot understand that stealing is bad? Why do you need to depend on them to know that it is bad? As religious teachers, they have reminded us. Not because they have said this is bad. Now there are many free thinkers, intellectuals in this world. They have no God, no heaven, no hell, no rebirth, no karma, no soul, nothing. Free. But do you think they behave as barbarians? Just because they don't believe all these things? If you study very carefully, you can understand they lead a very gentle way of life. Knowing these things are wrong, wicked, harmful, immoral, they try not to do. knowing these things are very important, useful, they do. No God, no heaven, nothing. Understand. The Buddha also wanted to introduce how to cultivate our mind by thinking through understanding to lead this way of life. Therefore, you should not say, we cannot say this because Buddha says we should not do. You are wrong. You can say like this, I know this is wrong. The Buddha also said this is wrong. Then you are correct. You give credit to your intelligence. There are many things that you can understand. It is not that you do not know these things are bad. You know they are bad. That's why people do secretly, knowing they are bad. That understanding we have to develop. Intellectual aspect. Sila. Samadhi. The calmness of the mind. Our minds are confused. Cannot concentrate. Always fear, worry, suspicion, insecurity, unhappiness, frustration, disappointment. So many things are bothering. Every minute there is something to disturb our mind. Nobody can live without these disturbances in the mind. Therefore, we must know how to reduce, how to avoid these disturbances that we maintain in our mind. The Buddha introduced this as samadhi, calmness of the mind. Concentration is there. Peaceful mind is there. Worries and fears and disturbances are not bothering, not disturbing the mind. That is samadhi. Panya, wisdom. When the mind is free from all those disturbances, very easily we can develop our wisdom, our understanding. Otherwise, the mind never get the chance to develop it. So, we should not follow religion or the Buddha blindly, thinking Buddha is a great man, Buddhism is a great religion. But you must understand why you should practice, why we should follow. Not as your tradition, not as your way of life, not as your culture, but through understanding. Then the wisdom is there, intelligence is there. Then come to the last item. A spiritual development. Now we started with family life, economy, social, intellectuals. Now come to the last item. A spiritual development. That is the last title. What is a spiritual development? At the moment, mind is occupied by the external object that our senses bring to our mind. The vision, the sound, the smell, the taste, or the feeling, these five. Every minute, one of these senses bring external object into our mind. Then what happens to the mind? Fear, worries, suspicion, insecurity, temptation, anger appear in the mind. because of those external objects come to our mind. By allowing these five senses to bring object into the mind, you cannot maintain purity in your mind. Or assume, you could manage to concentrate not to bring all those things into your mind. Then what will happen? Mind itself create mental object. All sort of ideas you create in your mind. Then again, disturbance, pollute the mind. Then the method taught by the Buddha is this. To avoid from all these things, one-pointedness. You must take only one point to concentrate without allowing those six senses to bring anything into the mind. That object must be a neutral one. If it is a very dirty, ugly, filthy, smelly, I cannot concentrate. Or if it is very attractive, beautiful, cannot concentrate. It must be neutral object. What is the method taught by the Buddha? Very simple. What is the method? Your own breathing, inhaling, exhaling, this is the object. Concentrate on this. Then mind cannot get another object. Senses cannot bring another object into the mind. Mind is concentrating on inhaling. Anapana sati. Always people use this. Anapana. Inhaling, exhaling. Now, the mind can relax. No disturbances, no temptations, nothing. Mind is relaxing, because no object to influence the mind. That's the most important thing in our life. When the mind is relaxing, what will happen? The organs in our physical body also get the chance to function in normal way. Otherwise, mind disturbs our organ very badly. Excitement, fear, anger, temptation disturb all the organ, brain cells, hormones, glands, nervous system, blood circulation, heartbeat, all these things disturbed by the mind. When the mind is relaxing, the organs also work in normal way. Then we can avoid so many sicknesses and trouble, physical problems. Not only that. The mind get the chance to rejuvenate, strengthen mental energy. Why? By using these senses, we waste mental energy. Eye consciousness, otherwise we cannot see anything, mental energy. Ear consciousness, we are using our mind. All the five senses go through the mind. We are wasting our mental energy for these senses. Again, creating imagination, we waste our mental energy. Stop all. Then the mind can get back the lost mental energy, developing. When the mental energy is developed, then slowly, our knowledge, our understanding, our wisdom develop. See, the technique, the method taught by the Buddha. You cannot get this by praying and worshipping and doing all sort of things. This is the way how to handle our mind, our life. Then completed the journey. A spiritual development is completed. That mind is completely pure and completed our journey. After that, physically and mentally, no troubles, no disturbances, no suffering, no worries, no fear, completely free. That is called salvation, taught by the Buddha. This is the Buddhist way of life, my dear friends. More than an hour, 1 hour 15 minutes. Have you got anything to ask?
Reverend, in the beginning you were saying about the controversy about this celebration of the Vesak Day this year. And I would like to take this opportunity to inquire about this calculation of the Buddhist era. I think the last few years, I have noticed that the calculation is 1 year more than the usual way that we calculated. If I'm not mistaken, we have been taught to add 543 years to the Gregorian year, which means that for this year, I have not seen the circular yet. From the way we are taught, it should be 2,547. But if I'm not mistaken, I remember last year during the celebration, it was stated as 2,547 for year 2003. Can you please elaborate on that?
I think that is not the important thing for us to consider to practice Buddhism. Just ignore all these things. You must follow the teachings of the Buddha, then unanimously the whole Buddhist world fixed a date without any controversy. Therefore our duty is to follow the decision made by the World Fellowship of Buddhists. There's nothing for us to argue about this.
Reverend, actually we are not trying to create any problem with that, you see. But the problem is that the previously, you know, when I noticed, I checked the books and so on, it was to be added 543 years. And now it is, if I'm not mistaken, you know, if you check the date, it is, they add 544. So there's a slight confusion. It's not that it's a matter of practicing Buddhism or what, but it's a matter of whether which should be the appropriate or accepted years instead of having 2 years, two different years.
What do you gain by calculating, counting this date or this month or this year to follow the teachings of the Buddha? What do you gain? Wasting our time for nothing. Create more controversy, more misunderstanding. We had to fix the date according to our convenience to celebrate the birthday of the Buddha. We no need to calculate and count how many hours, how many years, how many days. They are not important to practice Buddhism. You are asking, why did he renounce the worldly life to... Yeah. He is giving this advice for those who lead worldly life. You could understand that. Not the spiritual way of life. If you want to lead the spiritual way of life, then you have to go on reducing your worldly pleasure, sensual pleasure, craving, attachment, reducing. But not at the beginning. Don't mix up. 5 minutes more.
That's this. Is there any more questions? I was given a paper to ask a question before the talk. So I wonder, the sister, do you think it's
before the talk, how can they ask question?
So that's why I'm asking that sister, is it necessary to ask a question now after listening to the talk? All right, anyway, I'll just read it out again so that, I mean, for the benefit of all. How does wisdom play in the Buddhist way of life, Chief Reverend?
What is it?
How does wisdom play in the Buddhist way of life? Wisdom.
What is wisdom? We have to analyze this word. Is wisdom is there, naturally, the Buddhist way of life also there. No need to adjust purposely. Wisdom means realization. If realization is there in our mind, then we know how to adjust. That is Buddhist way of life. Since there is no such realization, proper understanding, we follow so many methods and so many things, thinking this is Buddhist way of life. Today, they have mixed up, muddled up with so many things. So many traditions, so many customs, so many activities, so many rites and rituals and ceremonies as Buddhism. But the teachings of the Buddha is not there. If no more, have some blessings, you know. Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sadasutthi bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba dhammanu bhavena Sadasutthi bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba sanghanu bhavena sadasutthi bhavantu te nakkhattayakka bhutanam papaggaha nivarana parittassanu bhavena antvate samupaddave andunni mittam Avamangalancha yochamanapo sakunasya saddo papaggaho dussupinam nakantam buddhanubhavena vinasamintu dhammanubhavena vinasamintu sanghanubhavena vinasamintu dukkhappattaca niddukkha bhayappattaca nibbhaya Sokappattaca nissokā hantu sabbe pipānino sabbe buddhā balappattā paccekānam cayaṁ balaṁ arahantānaṁ ca tejena rakkhaṁ bandhāmi sabbaso sabbe buddhā balappattā paccekānam cayaṁ balaṁ arahantānaṁ ca tejena Rakkhaṁ bandhāmi sabbaso sabbe buddhā balappattā paccekānaṁ cayaṁ balaṁ arahantānaṁ ca tejena Rakkhaṁ bandhāmi sabbaso Good health and peace of life to all of you.